Hello, my name is Kevin Jones, and I'm a freelance writer and the editor of the Safety at Work blog. Every so often, one gets to meet someone who knows a lot more than you do and is able to clarify issues much better as well. Sia Evans is one of those people, and for this May 2010 Safety at Work blog podcast, I had coffee with her one morning on the balcony of a cafe in Northcote here in Melbourne, Australia. Sia works for Computershare, a large multinational conglomerate that provides a range of professional services to a large range of clients. Sia's task in all of this complexity is to manage safety and other matters across several Australian sites through the application of principles that originate in quality and total quality management, but that have been refashioned into concepts of Six Sigma and Lean Six Sigma, amongst other concepts. I don't know much about these management processes, so it was a great time to catch up with somebody who is an expert in this area and how it relates to safety. So just prior to Sia's presentation at the Safety in Action conference in April this year, April 2010, Sia and I talked about her area of expertise and how she has applied these in practice. I found my time with Sia fascinating, and her enthusiasm and passion for safety was contagious. So I hope that you'll also catch some of that passion and enthusiasm by listening to the conversation I had with Sia Evans in April 2010.
A bit of background, Kevin, to this was a couple of years ago. You know, there was a lot of things happening. There was accidents happening in safety, but also quality was at a standstill, and we needed something big to shake the company up. And I'd already had worked in another company as a quality manager, and that was a registered training organisation as well in a country town. And we worked in Storm, and the training department was also an RTO, and I was in charge of that. So I knew how RTOs worked, and I knew there was government funding out there. So I thought, how better to sell something if I can sell it for free? So I did a bit of research, and America was saying to us, you've got to follow Six Sigma, you've got to follow Six Sigma. I'm not a Six Sigma fan, but I thought, well, maybe I can use that as a tool for getting better. So I looked up the RTOs, and I found an RTO whose senior trainer was this guy, Roger Hilton, who I've met through the years in the quality, and I went, he's got a doctor in Six Sigma, knows his stuff, love the man, yep, I'm going to go with this RTO. So I sat down and I said, what training can we do that's government funded and has this as a core module? And they said, well, there's competitive manufacturing and there's transport and logistics and all of it. I said, right, well, I want to do Six Sigma, but I want OH&S and environment as compulsory components. So we sat down and we wrote down the syllabus, and I said, this is what I want. I want Six Sigma and I want Lean, but I want OH&S as part of it. Because I've been doing integrated systems for years now. I would say for at least 13 years. 13 years ago, I wrote up my first integrated system where I put OH&S standard with quality, environment, stuck them all together in one matrix. So I thought, hey, if you can do it in a matrix, why can't you do it with Six Sigma? So then, you know, you've got Lean Six Sigma. We said, okay, basically it's got four main components in it. You've got your Lean stuff. And your Lean stuff is getting ready. Then you've got your Six Sigma, you've got your team building. Part of Lean is getting ready. Part of getting ready, if you've got a dinner party, what's the first thing you do? You clean up.
Mm.
So therefore, major component of Lean was, how do we make things cleaner and safer? So that was all tied in with the housekeeping. And all these people went away and they did projects. And without saying to them, you must do this or you must do that, about a third of the projects, based on all the background info that were given with OH&S, they actually did OH&S projects. And we had things like Night Shift had a printer that was on the floor. So they bought a table, little table, and they put it on top. No one had to bend over anymore. No one had to strain. And so what a simple thing, but you've just prevented a back injury from bending over.
Quite often safety gets described and sometimes ridiculed as being common sense. But what you've just shown is a sensible solution to a problem, not purposely done for occupational health and safety, but they just saw that and they just said, well, that looks ridiculous. Why are we bending over to do this? Why don't we just lift it up?
Yep.
So OHS didn't motivate them.
No.
Avoiding the injury did, but they never saw that as an occupational safety issue.
No, they saw it as, what's a better way of doing it? What's a better way of collecting this paper?
Well, yeah. So they saw it as common sense.
That's exactly right.
So common sense is the opposite of something that's ridiculous.
Yes.
Or something that's nonsensical. So it's not necessarily common sense, it's just sensible.
Yeah. And most of the things that they did were things like, the, you know, one of the projects was just cleaning up the area. And in the area there was carpets with cuts through it, which means you tripped every time you went on. So they didn't say, as part of the project, oh, let's make the flooring safer. They said, how do we make the place cleaner and tidier and look good? And as a consequence, you've increased OH&S. So in a lot of these things, because it was part of a big picture, they didn't look at it as OH&S. They just looked at it as, how do we make things better? So the outcome was an improvement in OH&S, but it wasn't a conscious, let's look at OH&S.
Do you think that that was the secret to getting this in, is that people didn't see it with all of the OHS baggage? They just simply saw it as improving our own workplace.
That's exactly right. And that's what that was geared at. Hmm. And we actually called it the Skill Up Better program. That's what it was called. Mm. And OH&S was just a part of it. It wasn't an addition. It wasn't, it was all integrated. Even before we got to this, you know, at Computershare, we have system audits. Now, I've created the system audits, which are done by cross-functional teams. They all have an environmental section and an OH&S checklist. So you've got a system audit, and it's got OH&S in there. It's not an extra.
Yeah.
All our work instructions I've created so that you have scope, OH&S, environment, and actions. It's all there. You don't have to have a separate policy or a separate work instruction. Every work instruction has their OH&S things like, hey guys, you better look at this. You know, while you're running this machine, make sure you're wearing proper shoes. Make sure you don't stick your hand in the guard, or whatever it is.
Mm.
So again, I had an integrated approach to the work instructions, an integrated approach. So I thought, why should Six Sigma be any different?
What I'm getting is that if you went at it from trying to explain health and safety and explain environment, people would get confused or either turned off at the coalface of where they needed to do these things. Upper level of management needed to understand that background and the rationale behind those.
Look, a lot of time, I can honestly tell you that upper management, they say to you, don't give me details, just give me solutions. So all I had to do was say, we need to make sure we comply to government regulations, we comply to WorkSafe. In order to comply to WorkSafe, we need to make sure that our people know about OH&S. We need to make sure that we have a committee, which we had a committee. We need to make sure that the OH&S word is filtered out. Why do we need to have a separate channel?
Yeah.
Why can't we integrate it in what they're already using now? So an operator who uses a work instruction will still use that work instruction, only, hey, there's OH&S in it. Mm. So it's nothing different that we have to sell. It becomes part of what they do. Mm. So it's just part of the puzzle. Mm. It's just...
Well, do you, I know we're not talking about Six Sigma as much as we could have done, but do you think that your efforts, would you describe the result of your efforts as having improved the workplace culture of ComputerShare?
Very much so. And the reason for it, and this is one thing that I've actually said to my managing director, if I was to leave today, I would be so proud of what I've done. Because, you know, 18 months ago, I had this vision that, and I have a thing that I haven't included in this slide, but in a lot of my talks, I often talk about marching to the tune of the same drum. In this Six Sigma program, you know, you traditionally...
That's okay.
Traditionally, Six Sigma is, you're going to get some... people and you can say, oh yep, these people, will train them as black belts, they will then drive projects and they will then train others. But I said, well, that's all right, but what if those five people we pick are the wrong people? What if they just don't have time to do it? What if they leave the company? What if we gave everybody a taste of the same thing? So it's not something different. So now we had cross-functional teams, five sites, five different cultures, as in work cultures,
yep.
Five sites, four states, 650 people undergoing the same training, the same modules, all in cross-functional teams. So you had the leadership team all working together on one project.
Yeah.
And they actually worked on two projects.
Mm-hmm.
One of them were the minor projects, which focused on lean. And lean is predominantly OH&S, without saying it's OH&S.
Yeah.
It's getting your house together.
Yeah.
And then they worked on a major project. And the major projects, some of them did touch on OH&S, but their focus was, what is a big improvement we can make? So some of these big improvements were, for example, rearranging the pallets in the warehouse. And all they wanted to do was make sure that all pallets were in the right place and the right thing, this, this, and that. It turns out that they were an OH&S thing. So not only do we have a much well-organized warehouse, but we don't have trip hazards there anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
So people then work together. Now, this also happened during a time where we just had a merge with a company that we acquired. So we had that culture to deal with as well. And it took the focus away from them and us because we were all working at the same level. Same trainers, same modules, same criteria, everything.
When you were talking about, instead of having designated people as the training, reminded me very much of previous organizations have talked about safety champions, and they've tried, they've used that, but what happens as soon as the champion leaves, the whole program collapses. Now you've got rid of that because you've outsourced the safety champion and made everybody a safety champion.
Yes.
And it reminded me, one of the things in a previous life, I've been asked about first aid and level two first aids and all that sort of stuff. And I said, look, if you're really serious about first aid or about safety, you just have everybody as a first aider. Train them to how to do CPR and stop somebody bleeding to death and leave the more complex stuff to the ambulance or to some level twos. No company has taken that up because they sort of couldn't get the idea of, well, everybody is first aiders. But what you've done is you've got everybody as safety trainers and safety champions. But the system is more robust as a result. You can go, half of them can go, but the system still still runs.
Well, one of the things, we had a meeting yesterday for the next stage, and we will be training 15 people nationally as black belts. Mm-hmm. But these 15 people have now got 650 people that they can choose from to assist them with projects, who all have either white or yellow belt 6 sigma.
I do like the belt idea, and having teenage boys who do jiu-jitsu, I know sometimes black belts are given and sometimes they're earned. And clearly what you've done is you're giving them to people who deserve them and you can rely on to do the right thing, rather than just seeing them as a qualification that they can have on their CV, where it's actually a functional qualification, which is terrific. One thing I had to ask, and I don't want to take the focus away from your terrific cartoon that you use in here. What the cartoon basically says is that quite often new management concepts are just old management concepts rebadged. What is the precursor? What has Six Sigma or has Lean been something in a previous life, and it's just been given a new name and new attention?
If you look at, and this is where originally I was against Six Sigma, because I felt it was just rehashing old techniques under a new name. And if you look at it, SPC, which is a core unit of Six Sigma, the statistics side of things,
yep.
SPC has been around for years. Total quality management has been around for years. Continuous improvement has been around for years.
Yeah.
So all these principles eventuated many, many years ago, but they evolve, they change, they get packaged. Six Sigma is a new package.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Lean, you know, in terms of removal of waste. What, we haven't been removing waste for years? But it's just a new terminology.
Yeah.
And you add a few more little things to it. You know, you add things like the you know, a classic example is the SIPOC model. The SIPOC model is you get your supplier, you get your inputs, you've got your process, you've got your outputs, and you've got your customer. About 3 years ago, I was asked to do some projects on a new company where they said to me, we need to determine what processes they're using and what processes they should be using. So I said, well, what we need to do is we need to determine the flow. And the flow starts off with the supplier, the inputs, the process, then the outputs and who the customer is. And so I did that 3 years ago. And then getting involved with, you know, all this new training, and I saw SIPOC and I went, this is not new. I did this 3 years ago out of common sense. So it's just packaging things up together. It's back to the common sense thing. It's common sense packaged in a way that makes it look new.
So I wonder, and I don't want to harp on common sense, but I'm just wondering if I mean, in my time with risk management, it's there was the old Rational Manager was a book that was very big, and there's Chris Handy stuff, Charles Handy stuff, and all sorts of things. Been around for a long, long time. And I wonder if all of it's just not a repackaging of common sense in new terminology to make people... So I wonder if that's one of the things. And I wonder if what we need to do is we need to become friends with common sense, is take it all the way back to common sense and sort of say, yes, safety is common sense, good management is common sense, and this is the elements of it.
But that then comes up with the other comment of common sense is not common.
No.
Because sometimes we either walk around with blinkers or rose-coloured glasses, and what is common sense once you are directed to it, it's like, oh yeah, that's common sense. But unless sometimes you're directed to a certain point, you don't see it. It's like, for example, if you're doing a puzzle and you're looking for that right piece, you say, I can't find it. But if someone points it out to you, you go, it's just there. Why didn't I see it? You know what I mean? It's there. A lot of things are there, but we just don't notice them. Haven't you ever, you're driving down the same street time and time and time again, and then one day you'll turn around and you say, I've never seen that blue house. And it's like, but you've driven past there a thousand times. You've passed it, but you just don't notice it. And I think that's what it is with common sense. You don't always notice things until there is a reason to notice it. Six Sigma and Lean gives you a reason to look around for that house.
Oh, yeah, so it's the flag. Yes, it does, very much. Yeah. So it's the flag that's waving, and you think, oh, what's that flag? Oh, it's Six Sigma. It's still pointing to something that's existed for ages, but it's suddenly something that's caught your attention.
Yeah.
I think there's a couple of other analogies I'd make. Up on my in-law's farm, they'd often have to dig out the bindi that was growing in the near the house yard, the little spiky weeds. The more you dug out, the more you saw them. And so what it did is it actually gave you a focus. So where you thought it was a small job, suddenly there was bindi all over the place. My son went to a dermatologist yesterday. I hope he doesn't mind me saying. Teenage acne, and the dermatologist said, oh, yes, I can see a couple of things here. Let's just get rid of them. As he started, he got through them, and he said, oh, hang on, there's a couple more. Oh, hang on, there's a couple more. So what happened was that once something was brought to your attention, and you looked at it, you realized that just how far it spread once you looked at it. And it's your point. So, and what we've got is that we are repackaging, but what we're doing is we're just adding a different color, adding a different sign, adding a different attention getter to what the core elements are.
I think the word is focusing.
Yeah.
We're focusing on things. And Six Sigma is a tool to focus.
So in your training, when you're training somebody, and initially on all of this package, and somebody say, oh, come on, see, look, we've heard of this before. This is what such and such was. Well, I mean, the response could be, well, yes, it is what you had before, but now you're actually sitting down and talking about it, where before you were dismissing it or it wasn't attending in the same areas as this one is. By coming at an old issue with a new perspective, we're actually dealing with old issues in a new way and providing new solutions.
But not only that, an old issue that still exists means it's an existing issue.
So it's not an old issue at all.
So it's
an issue that's still here.
Yeah, and the fact that we're looking at it now means obviously it wasn't fixed in the past.
I've immediately started thinking about stress, and even RSI. RSI has been re-described as occupation overuse syndrome, but we've still got it. Even though there was a plague of RSI in the mid-80s.
But now it's not so much because we're not using pencils and pens as much.
Yeah.
And I find that I'm a big note writer. If I go through maybe 3 or 4 diaries a year, because everything I do, I write it down, because I often get asked, oh, well, did you do that? Yep, this is what I refer to notes in my diary all the time. So I'm a big writer, and I find when I do a lot of writing, my wrist hurts.
Tell me, you're speaking at the day 2 of the Safety in Action Conference on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Other than you making the presentation, what do you think that you'll get from speaking at the conference? What benefit will it give you?
You know what? I'm really proud of this. I really, really am proud of it. And part of it is saying, hey guys, look at this, what I've done. And it's me doing show and tell. You know what I mean? My son this morning was like, I need to have something for show and tell. And I remember even as a child, I always wanted to show and tell things. This is my show and tell. It's a way of sharing what I've done. You know, a little bit is ego as well. I think to say none of it is ego would be a lie. A part of it is wanting to advertise my company, but a part of it is wanting people to know me. Hey,
yeah.
I've done all this great work. I want a pat on the back.
Yeah, and a pat on the back from your peers.
Yes.
Yeah, so because they're going to stand up and ask, oh, hang on, that doesn't sound right or whatever. But to have a discussion with your peers about something that you're so enthusiastic and proud about, those opportunities don't come up very often.
No, and I was actually asked to talk at a Six Sigma conference, which I did last year, and I've been asked again for not next week, the week after in Sydney. And same talk, only it doesn't really focus on IHS, it just focuses on the big picture. And one of the things someone said to me was, "You're really passionate about this." I said, "Because it's my baby. I had this vision, and now it's happened, and I'm so proud when, you know, the trainers, because we've got a registered RTO, an RTO came in, and they did a one-on-one interview, and they did an audit to see how much of those principles are being used or retained. And the audit results came up with that approximately 80% of people recall the principles, are using them in their everyday job. Well, that makes me happy.
Yeah.
I really felt proud. And I've said to my boss, "You can sack me now because I feel that I can leave here with my head held high. I've done something great." And I think that's the best in satisfaction. You can't get better than that. And I want others to say, "Oh, wow."
Yeah, but you're absolutely right. Speaking at a conference is show and tell. It's a really good way of explaining why you're there and what the purpose of the conference is.
That was Sia Evans of Computershare in Australia. I'm sure that now that Sia has a taste for talking about her experiences and her enthusiasms and the safety management processes, please watch out for her in your local conferences. I'd be surprised if you didn't get very, very good value from listening to her. And also, please remember to visit the Safety at Work blog and join in the discussions on issues of safety, risk, and management that you might find there. The number of readers is increasing almost every month, and I'm very proud of hosting and editing this evolving piece of independent news and commentary. The blog is easy to find by searching the internet for the single word Safety at Work blog. You'll get straight to it, I'm sure. And my name is Kevin Jones, and I hope that you all will stay safe until next time we talk. Thanks for joining us.